All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are talking about the latest injury updates on various key Falcon players in training camp and also taking a early look ahead to next week's opening preseason action against the New York Jets.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team. Every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com. Been covering the Atlanta Falcons for over a decade. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, as the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, today's episode, we are going to be talking a little bit about the injury updates that we got today on Wednesday as I'm recording this, and you guys are hearing this a day or so later, in terms of some players that have been out of practices or been day-to-day these last couple of days and sort of getting some updates on those guys. And then we'll sort of turn our attention to next week's preseason action on August 10th, next Thursday, against the New York Jets, where the Falcons will travel to the Meadowlands or whatever that stadium is called. My stadium references are all cemented in 2001, and if you've changed the name of your stadium since then, I have no idea what it's called. But anyway, no, we're going to talk about that game and sort of just a preliminary expectation of some of the things I'm expecting to see and certain things that I try to get out of these preseason games, largely because there's really not a whole lot else to talk about, if I'm being completely honest right now. We'll get to that in a second, but let's start off talking about the injuries. Ito Smith, the running back for the Falcons, who's been dealing with a foot contusion, bruised foot, for you laymen out there, is returned to practice on Wednesday and presumably will continue to progress moving forward. So that's good news. The summer of Ito can continue officially moving forward. He's basically, I think he was there for the first day of practice, got hurt that day, and then has basically been out for the better part of the last couple of days. The other update is we found out, according to Jason Butt of The Athletic, he said that Ty Sambrello is expected to miss the next four practices, which, based off of the timetable, it means that he'll be out for the remainder of the week with his hand injury. So we could expect to see Sambrello return to practice on Monday. This opens the door for guys like Austin Pastor and Matt Gono and Daniel Brunskill to solidify some, to really, if they can impress it over these next couple of days in practice with Sambrello out, that'll help their chances of sort of pushing for a roster spot and whatnot. So we'll see if those guys can take advantage of that. We also learned that Tack McKinley is still day-to-day, dealing with a shoulder injury. There's some confusion based off of the online reports I was reading whether or not the issue that kept him out of Wednesday's practice were related to the shoulder issue that he seemingly suffered on Friday or Saturday or whatever day that was over the weekend. But it sounds like, it seems like there's some optimism that he may be back to returning to practice a little bit earlier than Sambrello, potentially this weekend, or, probably at the latest, next Monday when the Falcons start back up next week to get prepared for that first preseason game. So those are the main injury issues that the Falcons are currently dealing with, and we'll see if those issues sort of linger. And maybe if whatever issues prop up and sort of see going into that first preseason game, where the Falcons are certainly going to be very conservative, anybody that's sort of dealing with any even minor issues will probably be held out of that Jets game. And so that may mean Tack. That may mean guys like Sambrello if their injuries sort of linger in the coming days. Ito Smith, now we can, if Ito continues to practice and be healthy for the remainder of the next week or so, then, we can expect him to get some action potentially in that first preseason game. But now we're going to talk a little bit about what I'm expecting to see from that upcoming preseason game next week against the Jets, as well as sort of what my perspective is when watching preseason games. But you guys, of course, can get into the preseason action yourself. There is a kickoff game tonight. The Hall of Fame game between the Bears and Ravens takes place tonight. And that means the start of the regular season is just around the corner. You guys don't have to sit around watching the Falcons from home. And you can be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in the crowd cheering on the team in person, thanks to Vivid Seats. Vivid Seats is offering Locked On Falcons listeners 10% off your first ticket order when you use our exclusive promo code Locked On. That's Locked On. New customers only, and the offer is good through the end of August. Preseason and regular season tickets are also available now. The Falcons kick off their home schedule September 16th against the Carolina Panthers, and you guys can be there for all the excitement. Go to vividseats.com or download the app and enter promo code LOCKEDON for 10% off your first order. The offseason is over, the NFL is back, and Vivid Seats wants to help you guys get in the game. Okay, so we're a week away from the first preseason game against the Jets. And, you know, I want to talk before we get into the sort of the specific things, you know, from various players that I expect to see in that matchup. I do want to talk a little bit about sort of what I look for when I'm looking at preseason. And I think the constant frustration I come across elsewhere is I think too often people look at the preseason as sort of being predictive of what's going to happen in the regular season. And my perspective on preseason and training camp is that it is really about player evaluation. It's primarily focused on getting 90 players in camp to whittle that down to the 53 guys that you're going to take into the regular season and getting those 53 guys ready for those regular season matchups. And I think, you know, what those 53 guys do in the regular season is really only going to be determined by what they actually do in the regular season. It sounds like a simple concept, but I still don't think a lot of people quite grasp it. I think, you know, the individual player in the preseason can sometimes be predictive, but too often you'll get people sort of applying that sort of predictiveness to a unit or a team as a whole. I'll use a couple of examples. Like, you go back to 2014. I remember that preseason, Levine Toilolo was really struggling with his blocking assignments in multiple games that year. Now, we all sort of knew at the time that Levine Toilolo wasn't going to emerge from Tony Gonzalez's shadow as a pass catcher. That was a given. But I do think the Falcons were expecting big things from him as a blocker, and that if he could give the team significant value as a blocker, it wouldn't necessarily live up to Tony Gonzalez, but it would certainly mean that they were getting something from him as a starter. And that was not the case, because when you watched Toilolo in the preseason, you saw him continually struggle with his blocking assignments. And so that was sort of predictive to, if he's struggling with his blocking assignments in the preseason, it's unlikely that he's going to suddenly get good with those in the regular season. And in you sort of see the flip side of that, and you watched Deion Jones last summer. I thought he was a guy that was a hammer versus the run in a lot of the preseason games, and looked very physical in a lot of the early preseason action. But then when you got to the regular season, he wasn't that effective, or at least didn't show the same sort of ability in the first half of that 2017 season. He obviously picked things up in the second half of the season. And then, you know, at the same time, you can use Devondre Campbell as an example, who I didn't think was doing a great job setting the edge when he was getting reps at Sam linebacker during the preseason. I thought that sort of carried over into the regular season. And then another linebacker example, I can remember Nate Stupar really struggling in the 2015 preseason, to the point where I was like, I don't know if Stupar is going to make the team. He wound up making the team and then was arguably the best linebacker on the team that season whenever he saw what limited reps he got that year. So I think the point is that the preseason certainly can be predictive, specifically for players when it comes to specific skill sets. But I think it may be generally true for most individuals, but it's not always true, I guess, is the point I use for all those examples. And I think what you have to keep in mind when you're sort of viewing these things, or certainly what I try to keep in mind, is using a specific example like Jones, is that while he can look great on one or two series that he's getting in terms of his workload in these early preseason games, and, you know, that may include like three plays against the run, and it's awesome, it's easy, or not to say it's easy, but, you know, it's certainly easier for him to shine on three plays against the run in the preseason than it is when you go to the regular season. Now you're asked to being able to defend the run on 30 plays. And so it's easy to go 3 for 3, or easier to go 3 for 3 in the preseason, but it's very hard to go 30 for 30, you know, in the regular season and whatnot. So that's something you have to sort of keep in mind, where the limited amount of reps and the quality of the competition can certainly, you have to take those things into account when you're viewing these preseason games. Now, going back to the point I made earlier, is I think where people get led astray is they start to apply sort of the same sort of individual aspect to it that you can sometimes apply to units. And, you know, for example, if the Falcons offense gets two series of work to start a game and they go down the field and score touchdowns on both of those drives, what you're going to see and hear from people is, oh, the Falcons offense is clicking and it's looking sharp and it's ready to go. And this is going to be the Sark and the offense starts to suddenly look good because of two series of work. Or you can look at, you know, this upcoming Jets game and look at the Falcons pass rush going up against this Jets offensive line for a couple of series early in the game. And then, you know, if they really are wreaking havoc in terms of their pass rush, people will be like, oh, this is going to be the breakout year for the Falcons pass rush. All the talk and all the concerns about the Falcons pass rush are misguided or whatnot. But meanwhile, you look at it and you say, well, the Jets only really have two above average starters up front, three below average starters. And so the fact that they can terrorize what, you know, Pro Football Focus ranks as the 31st best offensive line going into the 2018 season for two or three series, you know, that what does that mean? How does that apply to what they're going to do against the Philadelphia Eagles going into week one in their number one ranked offensive line for 10 to 12 series? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's easy for people to make these leaps that they necessarily shouldn't be able to leap. And you can do the opposite conclusion where you put, you know, if the offense struggles in the first two series, it's like, oh no, the offense, Sark is going to kill us again. Or the same applies to the pass rush. If they don't happen to wreak havoc against the Jets offensive line and Josh McCown isn't running for his life for those first couple of series, it's like, I don't really care what Vic Beasley does in that first series or whatever. If he beats Kelvin Beachum like a drum or he gets stonewalled, it doesn't really matter all that much to me. You know, I'm not going to be out on him this season based off of seven preseason snaps, or I'm going to be totally in on him based off of seven preseason snaps. You know, basically what happens is you get a clean slate, at least from my perspective, once the games that actually matter start to be played. And I think one of the things that you do have to pay attention to when it comes to the preseason, and specifically when you're applying it to individual players, is you have to be more focused on the skill set. For example, using a hypothetical situation here with Eric Saubert, you know, and his ability to separate from coverage, that to me is much more important than how many catches he passes he catches. If Saubert has like five catches against the Jets next week and four of them came against zone coverage, that pretty much means nothing to me, because how predictive of that is a future NFL success, you know? So Saubert can beat zone. Congratulations. You're one of 400 undrafted, one of 400 players currently in NFL camps that can make a catch when someone is not guarding you. Oh my God, you're amazing. And if we get into the regular season and we see, you know, zone looks from opposing teams, do we really think Matt Ryan pre-snap is going to be like, oh, we're going against zone, let me throw the ball to Eric Saubert instead of Julio Jones or Mohamed Sanu or Calvin Ridley or any of the other weapons that Matt Ryan has at his disposal? I'm sure Saubert could get a half dozen targets over the course of the entire 2018 season against zone, but like, that's not a breakout season. And, you know, you'll hear those sort of takes if Saubert has like a five catch performance against the Jets. And he could very easily have a five catch performance because he probably, as we'll talk about later, he'll probably get a little bit, you know, increased playing time this week. And so he'll have an opportunity to make some catches and be productive. But I think part of it is you have to take some of this stuff with a grain of salt because, A, nobody really has a clue about what they should and shouldn't pay attention to when they're evaluating players, particularly in the preseason. B, no one's really paying that much attention in the preseason to begin with. And C, I think people like to go for the easy and thus lazy narratives when it comes to sort of looking at these preseason and camp storylines and whatnot. So, you know, just using some hypothetical examples, particularly with the Saubert situation, just to sort of be like, don't just look at the box score and say, oh, Saubert had this many catches. He's really made a huge, huge improvement. It's like, you know, you have to look at the individual plays, the individual things that he's doing that actually apply to playing the tight end position in the NFL, not necessarily, oh, he put up a lot of production against this, you know, really poor second and third string defense. Oh my God, that's something that certainly is going to be meaningful when he's facing one of the better defenses in the postseason, in the Vikings or in the Rams or whatever. But that being said, let's talk a little bit more about sort of specific things that I'm expecting to see with this Jets matchup between the Falcons and Jets in a week from today. But I do want to plug Locked On Hawks podcast. I know the NBA offseason has quieted down, but you guys should definitely check out my friend Brad Rowland, the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So what's going to be interesting in this game, and I'll be curious to see how the Falcons handle this, but my expectation right now is that the core starters and some of the core backups won't see that much work in this opening preseason game. That was sort of the formula that the Falcons followed last year. Now, it was a little different in 2015 and 2016, where you saw a little bit more extensive work for the starters in the opening preseason games those years. But I think this year is probably likely to follow the 2017 template, which is, you know, basically each of these guys has like a number of reps, a number of snaps that they're expected to get. And some guys, that number might be as little as two or three snaps. And for others, it might be probably like four or five or six or something like that, which you would assume would then represent an entire series of work. And then for others, it might be like 10 or 12 or something like that, which you could then apply to be like two series of work. And that's probably what you can realistically expect from most of the team starters. Maybe a couple of guys that are quote unquote competing for jobs, like Brandon Fusco or Duke Riley or whoever that third linebacker is, might see extended reps into the second and third units and whatnot. But for the most part, most of the starters I expect will basically be yanked off the field either after one or two series. What will be interesting, and I think what often happens when you see these starters get more than their expected amount of workload in these first early preseason games at the very least, is what happens is the team will call an audible where you'll have the offense go out there for a series with the expectation that they'll play one series. Let's get something going. Let's move the ball and, you know, see if we can get some points out of this. But what will happen is they run the ball on first and second down to get like 1 yard combined, and then on third and long, Matt Ryan gets sacked, and then they're going to be like, okay, well, we thought going into the game you need only a series, but you guys need to go out there for a second series because we want to get something positive going. We don't want to end the night on such a negative sort of effort and whatnot. So then you'll see Matt Ryan and company go out there for a second series or something like that, but hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully the Falcons come out with, you know, their foot forward against the Jets and whatnot. But some of the things I'll be focused on, I think the running backs is going to be an interesting situation. As I mentioned earlier when talking about Ito Smith, I think those guys will get a lot of reps, a large portion of the workload. It'll be interesting to sort of see what guys like Justin Crawford, Terrence McGee, and Malik Williams can also do with whatever reps they get. Crawford has been getting a little bit of buzz these last couple of days. I think now with Ito Smith out of the lineup, these last few days in practice. And it's interesting because I thought of the undrafted guys, Crawford was the most talented runner of the group. I sort of thought Malik Williams would have a better shot of making the roster, largely because of his superior, or what I perceive to be superior, pass protection skills. We'll see whether or not those things prove true in the actual games when we get forward. And I think this is interesting with the running back group because it's very easy for people to be enamored with the skills, the running abilities, and seeing guys break a couple of, you know, 10 or 15 yard runs or whatever the case may be. But I think when you guys are watching the game, and something I will certainly be focused on, is going to be what they do on those passing downs. Are they hitting their assignments in pass protection? Because as I've suggested and argued many times before the podcast throughout the summer, is that if these guys are going to get any opportunities to play on offense, it's not going to be because they're such gifted runners because of the presence of Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. It's going to be because the team trusts them that they can be out there on the field on passing downs, which, you know, as you guys know, is the majority of downs in the NFL, because they're capable pass protectors. And that was one of the reasons why Teron Ward got early work as a rookie. And that was an area that Tevin Coleman wasn't quite up to par with as a rookie, and part of the reason why he didn't get a ton of reps once he got benched, or once he got injured and then benched after the emergence of Devontae Freeman early that season. So that's something to keep an eye on. Pay attention to the running backs on those passing situations and see what they do, whether or not they're hitting their blocking assignments and whether they're actually executing their blocks and whatnot. Obviously, I'm going to be focused on the fullback battle. You guys knew that. I'll be curious to see how the Falcons divvy up the reps now that there are only two fullbacks on the roster. Will they give one guy the majority of first half reps and then the other guy the second half reps? That will indicate that there is a clear disparity between whoever that starting guy is and the second guy. Or will they do like they do with most, typically what they do when there are two guys competing for a starting spot is they alternate series. And I'll be curious to see if that's the way that they go. And if that's the case, then the conclusion then is probably that at least through the first, 2 weeks of practice, that the battle is still very tight. And maybe one of those guys, based off of their performance in that opening preseason game, may create a little bit more separation between them. At the wide receiver position, I'm expecting Ridley and as well as guys like Saubert to get a lot of reps. My expectations are Sanu and Julio will get a very quick hook in this game, and you'll see a lot of Calvin Ridley, you'll see a lot of Justin Hardy in the first half of the game working with whoever that quarterback is. Last year we saw Matt Schaub get a very, Ryan got a series of work, then Schaub I think came in for one, maybe two series, and then he got a quick hook, and we saw Matt Sims get the majority of the reps in the second quarter and in the third quarter as well. I'll be curious if the Falcons do that again with either Grayson or Binkert this year, or because they want to see Ridley put his best foot forward, will they give Matt Schaub a little bit more reps than probably he's used to, at least based off of last summer, just so that they can have a competent NFL quarterback out there throwing him passes rather than what we've grown accustomed to, or at least I have, with past Falcon, backup quarterbacks, which is very erratic, very hit and miss, very questionable ability to run the offense. And so therefore you have this talent, these talented wide receivers that really don't get the opportunity to show that talent because you have very questionable quarterback play among your depth chart. So we'll see what that happens. The second unit offensive line is another unit I'm eager to see what they do. And this is something I touched upon last summer, after that first game against the Dolphins, where the second unit offensive line got destroyed in that game, pretty much. Even the starters had some issues, but for the most part, it was the second unit, and they looked pretty bad. And one of the theories I had that came about why they struggled so much was due to the fact that the practice schedule and sort of not being able to hit guys early in camp to the degree that you once upon a time could meant that those guys were not quite prepared for the speed of the game. And I think that was sort of exasperated by the fact that you had two rookies and Daniel Brunskill and Sean Harlow sort of on that second unit. You had a second year player in Wes Schweitzer who hadn't basically played in like 11 months outside of practice. And you had DJT LaVea, who was a converted tight end, trying his hand at offensive tackle that year, and only really Ben Garland being the only experienced blocker you had on that second unit. And so basically not being able to hit guys in practice and then not having a lot of experience to fall back upon, those guys got exposed in that first preseason game against the Dolphins. I'll be curious to see if we see something comparable or similar this year. You should have a lot more experience. You have Sam Brailo, presumably if he plays, Pastor at offensive tackle, you have Schweitzer and Garland inside, and then we'll see if Harlow or Jameel Douglas or somebody else is also on the interior as well, playing that other guard spot. But you certainly have a lot more experience, a lot more NFL starts to fall back upon with this group, and so that shouldn't be an issue. But if it is, I think you didn't have to start to raise the question that I had a year ago, that maybe Dan Quinn certainly has to really seriously consider having some of these early summer scrimmages against other NFL teams to get these guys reps against, basically quote-unquote live fire against some of these guys in these padded practices, I'm sorry. Because what you're not getting, enough from that. I don't expect that this year just because of the experience. Also because I don't think the Jets' second unit D-line is going to be quite as good as the Dolphins' second unit D-line was last year. Outside of guys like Foley Fadakasi and Nate Shepard, I'm not really expecting anybody to really light these guys up. But we'll see. You never know. But it is something that I think the Falcons may have to consider if we once again get an underwhelming performance, particularly from that second unit offensive line going into this game. That's, it will benefit particularly the guys in the trenches, that if they can get, you know, some serious reps against quality opponents, you know, this year it's easy, you know, because you're not playing them in the preseason. You could easily coordinate a scrimmage against the Titans, given that it's just like a 4-hour bus trip away between Nashville and Atlanta. So that's something that the Falcons might have to consider, but we'll see how that plays out in the preseason game. Defensively, you know, I'm very eager to see some of the new faces we have in the front seven. You look at the draft class, you got Foye Olukun is getting hype. I had low expectations going into the summer with what Olukun would do, in terms, or at least in terms of his contributions this year. He's been talked up quite a bit in these last couple of days, so now the expectations are going to be a little bit higher for me. So maybe that means, you know, maybe because the expectations are a little higher, maybe that's a lot more opportunity, at least for him, to disappoint. I mean, you guys know me. If I'm not happy with a player's performance, I'm going to say so. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Obviously, Deidre Sonat in the secondary, Isaiah Oliver, the rookies as well. So I also want to see what sort of growth guys like KZ and Riley and JT Jones, now that they're in their second year, what they show this year. You have a lot of undrafted free agents along the defensive line at linebacker and safety competing for jobs, and maybe one or two of these guys might emerge as a guy that could potentially sneak onto the roster if they have a good enough preseason. So that's going to be something, you know, that you can often see. Obviously, the return specialist job is up for grabs, and that's going to be hotly contested this summer. And we'll see if anybody really sort of pushes their name forward ahead in that battle. It is, you know, I think all along, many of us, including myself, have sort of expected that to be something that goes down to the wire to that fourth preseason game before it finally gets settled. But we saw 2 years ago in that opening preseason game, J.D. McKissic took the opening kickoff in the second half, 101 yards back for a touchdown. And that really sort of surged him ahead in that conversation at a point when I think most people at that time sort of thought it was a foregone conclusion that Devin Fuller was going to win that job. So I'm eager to see if somebody does that. And, you know, that sort of applies. So that same sort of thing applies to what I'm eager to see on the defense. You often will see a guy, you know, whether it's a Paul Warlow or somebody else or JT Jones, really sort of make a name for themselves, or Cap Cappy. Never forget Cap Cappy. Make a name for themselves in one of these early preseason games and really sort of get the conversation rolling. Like, oh, this is a guy that could potentially make the roster. Jermaine Grace is another example of a guy like that as well. So, you know, to wrap things up, looking across at the Jets, I certainly am going to be curious to see some of their rookies. Sam Darnold, obviously, now that he's in camp. Nate Shepard and Foley Fadakasi were two D linemen that I was certainly on my radar as potential Falcon picks. So I'm eager to see those guys play. There are some other undrafted rookies that the Jets picked up that sort of were guys that potentially could have been on the Falcons' radar, or at least the Falcons were linked to in terms of their workouts, including a Dimitri Flowers, the fullback. Some people thought he was the best fullback in this draft class. I wasn't as high on Flowers coming out, but I, you know, there's been many a player over the years that I'm like, ah, he's not that good. He's a little overrated, and then he comes out and tears it up in the league. So certainly because of my focus on the fullback position, Flowers is going to be another guy on my radar. Obviously, we get the return of Andre Roberts and look forward to that. Teddy Bridgewater, who is a folk hero on this podcast, longtime listeners know that Teddy Bridgewater was a frequent topic of conversation back in the day on this podcast, even in days when the Falcons weren't playing the Vikings. And it's been a while since we really got an opportunity to see him, so I certainly look forward to seeing what he can do on the field on Thursday as well. So certainly we'll talk a little bit more in depth maybe about some specifics of this matchup and some key players as we get closer to this game. But just a week ahead of time, a week out, I wanted to give some of my thoughts on the preseason and what to look for in these preseason games. Tonight we have a game, you know, football is back tonight. You know, Lamar Jackson, my boy Josh Woodrum, who stood out to me when I was watching Ricky Ortiz last preseason, or from last preseason, and he was a quarterback. So those are two guys, obviously, on the Ravens side. Another player that stood out to me on the Ravens side last summer was Smoke Mizell. He's now with the Bears, so he'll be contributing. Obviously, we have Taylor Gabriel. We get to see Mitch Trubisky and so whatnot with a new-look Bears offense, a completely revamped Bears offense, I think. So we'll see about that. Also, another fullback battle that's worth being invested in, because Michael Burton, the incumbent at fullback, struggled last year with the Bears as a fullback, is getting pushed by who is the guy that the Bears have? I'm blanking on who that person is. Ryan Nall, that's it, the running back from Oregon State. So there you have it, guys. If you want to provide your feedback to me on Twitter, you can do so at FileFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, it's just easier to go ahead and send it to Locked On Falcons. That's the show's Twitter handle. You can also check us out on Facebook at Locked On Falcons. Give us a like while you're there. And of course, you can send an email at lockedonfalcons@mail.com, or leave a comment at lockedonfalcons.com or falcons.com, where the show is posted daily. So until then, guys.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now we all expected going into that regular season that Laviska Tunsil was not going to live up to Tony Gonzalez's standards and live outside. What is that phrase? Emerge from his shadow. Laviska Tunsil,